Our Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The Rafah border crossing between southern Gaza and Egypt is abuzz today. It's seen as a way to get into Egypt and out of the line of fire between Hamas and Israel. The U.S. is encouraging Americans in Gaza to move south toward the crossing to be ready for its possible reopening. Many Palestinians are at this hour fleeing northern Gaza, which has been targeted by the Israeli military for a possible ground offensive. Israel had given people in the north until this morning to leave. More from CBS's Robert Berger.
You have a situation where hundreds of thousands of Palestinian civilians are effectively caught in the middle between Israel and Hamas. Israel has ordered about 1 million Palestinians to evacuate northern Gaza and move south, but Hamas is urging them to stay where they are. Now, U.S. and Israeli officials say Hamas wants to use these civilians as human shields.
CBS's Imtiaz Tayyab says Israel does appear to be preparing for a ground invasion of Gaza.
Israel's mobilizing several units to the southwestern region bordering Gaza and have called up over 360,000 reservists.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu visited his ground troops today and told them the next stage is coming. Reaction to the war in Israel and Gaza is spreading around the U.S. and the world, says CBS's Michael George.
Cries of Free Palestine rang out in New York City Friday as thousands of protesters denounced Israeli bombings of the Gaza Strip.
It's not a Jewish thing, it's not a Muslim thing, it's a human rights thing, and we're sick of it.
But demonstrators who marched to Times Square were met with pro-Israel demonstrators. Even some were clear they were not against the Palestinian people, but against the militant Hamas group that controlled them in the Gaza Strip where more than 1 million Palestinians live.
Israel has nothing to do with the Palestinian people. And this is something that people need to understand. The one who controls the Palestinian is the Hamas.
The U.S. House of Representatives remains at a standstill.
With Louisiana Steve Scalise out, Ohio's Jim Jordan is back in, trying to become the next Speaker of the House. But it's unclear if he has enough fellow Republicans to vote for him to make it. He needs 217. As for the opposition,
we want to find a bipartisan path to reopening the House of Representatives.
Democratic Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries of New York with advice for his Republican colleagues.
Break away from the extremism. Partner with Democrats on an enlightened, bipartisan path forward.
Tom Foti, CBS News, Washington.
The vote for a new speaker could happen next week. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a clinically accurate, fast, and non-invasive thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com.
Like any good agent, we're here for the open house, for the closing, for handing over keys. But because we're Realtors, we're here for so much more. Agents who are Realtors volunteer at nearly 3 times the national average. We're working to broaden access to credit, increase affordable housing supply, and ensure fair housing for all. And Realtors are bound by a code of ethics. We're here for it all. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Monday, October 16th. In Wood County, the Citizens Water Group will meet at 2 in the River Block Auditorium in Wisconsin Rapids. The Central Wisconsin State Fair Executive Board will meet at 5 at the fair office in Marshfield. The Board of Directors meeting will follow at 6:30. The NEPCO Lake District Board of Commissioners meeting will take place at 3:30 at the Marshall Bueller Center in Port Edwards. In Portage County, the Board of Adjustment meeting at 4 and the Health and Human Services meeting at 4:30 have both been canceled. In Adams County, the Library Board will meet at 2 at the library. The Health and Human Services public hearing and regular meeting will be held from 4 to 6 at the Adams County Courthouse. The City of Adams Finance Committee will meet at 5, and the City Council meeting will begin at 6. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 53. Northeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 40. High of 54, tomorrow cloudy skies. Mid-50s Monday, turning warmer on Tuesday with highs in the upper 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 13th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In part two, we're going to talk with our friend Nathan Plim. He is with, of course, the marketing sales manager with Visit Wisconsin Rapids. We'll be talking about the area sports complex. Right now, in studio, some of our favorite people. We're talking Historic Point boss, Spirit Walk. We have Mike Hittner with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, James, and everybody in Radioland.
And Larry Knutson. Larry, thanks for being here.
Good morning.
Good to see you both again. Thanks so much for the time. You know how much I love talking history with you guys and talking about the Historic Point boss. But of all the events you do, this is the one that I love so much. Oh, this is such it hits my heart, in my spirit, and this time of year, we're so excited about this. Mike, let's dive into the Spirit Walk, a wonderful event that is coming up on October 21st, and then again Saturday, October 28th, over at the Historic Point boss.
Right. This is, James and listeners, this is something that we've done for probably 20-plus years, probably closer to 25 years, and it's... What I like about it, it's a lot of fun for us participants, and it's fun for the people that come to view it and see it. And so it's interactive in the sense that you go with a guide with a lantern-lit path, and you go with the guide and takes you around from building to building, and you have different characters. Most of them portraying somebody historic or somebody that could have lived during those days and telling the story of their life, or portion of their life, or what happened to them, or happened to a relative, or something like that. And I think it's a lot of fun. And of all our events, this one we have to use the least advertising, and we get the most people for the least effort almost, because I think it's passed on from person to person, from year to year. And we've even seen people come on one Saturday and then come back the next Saturday with another group of people. I mean, it's like they love it, and it's, of course, appropriate to the period too. I mean, that's the beauty of it. So
it's another great way of getting people, whether young or old, to learn a little bit of the history of that area. Mm-hmm. And a fun way of doing it too. I always like to send a big thank you to all the actors and all the people that are along with this, because as you're bopping around the beautiful land of the Historic Point boss, you're going to be able to run into people and hear more about the area and the history of the area.
Yeah, you've got people from community theater, Mike Edgren, Steve Martin. You've got people that have Leah Brown, who will help with the production of Beauty and the Beast at the PAC Center a couple weeks back. And so Ryan Husted, he's at UW La Crosse. He's in theater, and he comes back every year to do some presentation and that sort of thing. So and a lot of our regulars, Larry does a character for this, and he could tell a little bit about it, but not to spoil anything. Larry, why don't you just whet their appetite?
Well, yeah, I don't know how to talk about it without spoiling it.
A little spoilers is okay.
Well, what we want to do is we want to put some fun into it, but we want to have some history with it. Mm-hmm. And that's to come up with something new every year is a challenge.
Yeah.
You know, so and if you do really, really good one year, you feel kind of bad if you can't do better the next year. So it's a real challenge to come up with something.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to top everything. You know, you think about it, well, it went over really well last year. Now, what can I come up with that's going to top that or at least be equal to it? Right, and that's the hard part.
But the big thing is to put some entertainment into it. Mm-hmm. And we have one group, I'll say, that just it's always entertaining. But put some entertainment in it, but then put some history in with it as well. And it's not... I've had a lot of comments from people in the past. They love it because it's not scary.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of places for Halloween is scary, and that's great, you know, if you want scary, but some people with younger children, they don't want really scary.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of, oh my God, you know, type thing is fine.
I think that the scare involved with this is when you get to hear these people and actors like Larry, like Steve, like Mike that you mentioned there, they're good at what they do. And so you really are in that moment with them and time machine brought back to that time.
Yeah.
And I think for some of the younger people, it could be scary just not having internet, let alone the other things that you learn and hear with that and everything. And it's kind of, it's not a true, like the traditional Alfred Hitchcock kind of scary. It's more of like just a perspective. Kind of, and I think along with that, you end up learning and you end up having some appreciation, and not only of what you have right now, but all the trailblazers and the people that got us to this point.
And we list it as haunted history. We don't talk about scariness. It's haunted history. Yeah. Some story might be a little eerie, something happened to somebody, but it's not anybody grabbing you out of the dark or anything like that. And it's kind of nice because it's outside most of it. You go into some buildings. Some people are outside under flies and that sort of thing. But it's really entertaining in that aspect, too. And we start at 6 o'clock in the evening. The first group goes out, and then the final group, I think, goes out after 8. I think 8:30 is the last group. But the nice part about it, it's mostly dark. And we suggest for people that have maybe mobility issues to come early because you can see where you're walking and everything because our grounds are good, but they're uneven. They're not flat like a field or athletic field or something like that. So come out early if you got mobility issues. Otherwise, I suggest everybody to get out there between probably as much as possible between 7 and 7:30 or so because those groups stack up. Sometimes there's 2-3 groups waiting to go out and just waiting because it takes about 40, 45 minutes to make the circuit. So,
And with the issue of mobility, too, we now have all our buildings handicap accessible, so we can make accommodations for anybody.
Appreciate that.
No, it is rough terrain going between buildings and things like that. We don't have asphalt pads or walkways or something. Yeah. But
Larry, you guys have been talking about actors and people that have been part of this a long time. How long have you been doing this, Larry?
The older I get, the quicker time flies, so I've probably been 10 years.
Okay,
years,
I'd say
like
so.
That.
Yeah.
You know it's a while when you can't think of it right away, though.
I started later. Mike, of course, has been there since a conception of Historic Point Boss, but I started a little bit later when I retired, and I want something new, and I love history.
Yeah, and Larry comes from a background of being involved in history, but it was an earlier period of history. Why don't you tell them a little of your background, where you came from originally?
Well, my wife and I, we do a medieval reenactment through Society of Creative Enactors.
I got a lot of respect for that.
Been in that for a lot of years.
Very cool. You ain't kidding, Mike. A little bit farther back history. But pretty cool. Yeah. So when you were talking before about finding ways to kind of make it a little bit more fresh or a little bit newer or a little more fun or anything, how do you do something like that? I know in my job, I've got to do that every day. And there are days I feel good about it. There are days I feel like I'm struggling at it and everything. How do you guys kind of do that to find new ways to make it a little more fun, a little more interesting?
Well, I don't know. I guess like a lot of things, we procrastinate too, and wait till the last minute to I got to come up with something. Oh, you know,
necessity like is this. The mother of invention.
But once in a while, you'll get an idea and you'll carry that through until later in the year when you get closer and then you start to work on it a little bit.
You guys, do you and the fellow actors, do you got to bounce ideas off each other and everything? I'm thinking two of the smartest actors I've ever worked with, Mike Egren and Steve Martin, having those two assets there, it's pretty nice to be able to have those resources there.
The unfortunate thing is they're only there those evenings. And so all of the characters actually do their own thing. And then if it's somebody new, I usually ask to review their script a little bit, mm-hmm. because certain times they've had something maybe too eerie or whatever,
yeah.
or maybe a little too short. I've got one now. I said, can you add 30 seconds to it? Because mm-hmm. I don't want it too short. We want them between about 3 and 5 minutes, so we have an even flow and we don't have a bottleneck anywhere on the site,
yeah.
because we don't have a lot of space to back up people.
Yeah, we have... Early on, it works pretty smooth, but later on, when people really start coming, we'll have groups of 10, 12 people mm-hmm. come in, and then we try and go with groups of about 15 people max, right. you know. But they'll come in, and all of a sudden, we've got a backup of people
yeah.
sitting
yeah.
there.
Some of the buildings, we really have a somewhat of a limitation on how many people. I think probably around 15 is about mm-hmm. as many as you should get in the cabin or the house, I think. School can hold a little more, but I remember one year, Carl Johnson, who's passed away since then, and I did something down along the river, and they were coming down the steps by the river, by the warehouse there, and they kept coming. And then we didn't know when to start. You know, we didn't know when everybody's going to be there. We usually don't want to start until everybody's in place, but they kept coming. They kept coming. I think there was two groups they combined. There was 22 people in there, and it was just almost too many people for even people to hear sometimes if they're in the back or something. Some people have a very good projecting voice. Mm-hmm. Other people, their voice doesn't go more than 6 feet, so yeah. there's an issue there.
But for during those times when we do have a lot of people waiting and things like that, we do have a nice campfire to mm-hmm. stay warm around, and we have our good hot cider that we made mm-hmm. During Heritage Holidays, Harvest Fair.
Harvest Fair, yep.
We have some excellent warm cider that we'll have.
And this year it'll be nice. Tina Crummel, who's our president, is going to talk about us and the history of us and the different buildings and what we've done on the site and everything. Because in the past, I think Larry's done, you know, some stories, the legend of Sleepy Hollow or whatever it might mm-hmm. be. And then when you ask people, what do you want to hear? They tend to say, well, I want to hear more about the site. Because a lot of these people, it's the first time or maybe that's the only time they come down there. Mm-hmm. They really don't know much about the site, who's involved, what we're doing, what we're trying to do. So Tina's going to, I think, fill in people on that aspect.
That's a good idea. Mike, we mentioned, you're going to be walking the grounds, interacting with different places. We don't want to spoil anything for everybody, but can we give people an idea of some of these places that they stop by, what they'll be experiencing?
Sure. There'll be a woman in the house who will be talking about the loss of her son. Mike and Steve are going to do something as peddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, those guys always do such yeah. an excellent job. And then... we got an Indian princess in the cabin.
Mm.
One Saturday, unfortunately, the two people can't do it the same Saturday. So Ryan Husted will be in there the second Saturday, and he'll be doing something on. There's some plague going around, and there's some magic cure for it, and it's something that's brewed. To just give you an idea. So,
nice.
And then Ken Harchi, who's in the blacksmith shop, has got a story, but he didn't start it. When I talked to him, I says, well, what about it, Ken? What are you doing? He says, I don't know. Larry, of course, is doing his thing in the bunkhouse. And then the school, we got two gals doing it, and there's a witch on the trail somewhere. So
I guess I can give a little clue.
A teaser.
Mine
will be about bloodletting.
Huh. Interesting.
But it's somewhat unique, so yeah, you'll have to come to find out what it is.
Cannot wait. I will see you there, sir. With an event like this, we touch on certainly the living history and bringing history to life, something that you guys do better than most over there at Historic Point Boss. With the land itself over there, how much of the history do you tie into this specific area to these stops, to these with these spirits coming out and everything?
Depends on the stop. Some of them are really tie in. The one in the house will really tie in. Probably the school will really tie in. And, you know, another one or two might tie in, and then Larry's might be just a little more of a character presentation of the idea of this bloodletting or whatever sort of thing. So Depends. You know, I'd say about half of them tie into the site and the other half tie into what was happening in the area or in the United mm-hmm. States about the same time.
That's pretty cool. It's a nice mix of that, too. Brings me also to the other part of this that I really enjoy. I'm a sucker for theater. I love live theater. One of the things I love about it is there are no repeats. You can go and see the same show back-to-back nights, and it's going to be a little different each night. It's a little similar feel with this.
Well, certainly, and Larry and I, as interpreters, Larry in the bunkhouse or the cabin and myself in the house, we can say that no two presentations are the same.
Mm-hmm.
There is no script. We got an idea what we're going to talk about, but if a school group, a child raises a hand, all of a sudden gets us going off in a little different direction. And so it's kind of unique in that sense, that, and you've done that. It's basically improv pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Which is really cool. It's, again, another fun way of getting these stories out there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it would be a problem if it was scripted, but there's something that's more humanistic and more, I think people are
more natural.
Yes, and they're more inclined to remember these things when it's you're kind of just talking to them, and it's not so much like a teacher kind of giving a presentation. That also makes me want to encourage everybody to go to both days, go to both weekends, because it could be you're going to get stuff from the first weekend that you might not from the next weekend, and vice versa.
And what we hear too from some of the presenters is that things gel maybe on the second or third group. Maybe it isn't quite gelled yet, but you know, when you give it two or three times, and all of a sudden things start to gel and really come out really good. And maybe the first group or two, maybe you're a little off, or maybe you forgot something you were going to add or something, and then you know you're trying to figure out how to, you know, how improv goes. It's round and round in your mind, how can I put this in at the right time and still get the same punch out of it? But so, you know, it's kind of interesting that
you kind of feel the audience too. If you go in and you're giving one presentation and the people are kind of blasé, and then you hit something and all of a sudden they perk up, you kind of notice that. So now I gotta concentrate on that a little more, you know. And so you kind of change as the
I don't think people realize, you do, James, from theater, and us a little bit as interpreters, how much the audience or the people that are listening to you make a mark on you. If they're really into it, you're really into it. If they're not really into it, it's kind of, you know, like Larry saying, blasé or something. You go through the motions, but it isn't really there. But if the audience is really into it, man, you're sucked right into it. They're sucked in with you.
I like to remind people all the time when they're coming to see these shows, you're a part of the show. You know, if you're seeing, whether it's something like this or a theater play or anything, the audience, I'm on that stage, and when you laugh, I'm not going to talk over your laughing. I'm going to wait for your laugh to die down, and then I'll jump in with my line. You are a part of the show. You are a part of all of this, and you're a part of things with the Historic Point Boss, too. It's a fun part of that, I think, for audience members and for people coming down there.
Yeah, and I don't think people realize how much eye contact we have, and anybody that's in a play or any kind of production has with the audience.
Yeah.
People think they're just looking out into space, but they're looking at your eyes. They're looking at your emotions, your facial expressions.
We're speaking with Mike and Larry from the Historic Point Boss about the Spirit Walk coming up on October 21st, and then again on Saturday, October 28th, over at the Historic Point Boss. You guys touched on this a little bit. One of the things that I think is so well done about this event, to me, is the way everything just flows with these groups. I've gone to like four or five of them over the years, and every year, if I get there at any certain time, if I gotta wait, I'm not waiting. I'm sitting there by a fire. I've got something nice to drink, and I'm out in the nature. It's a beautiful moment. And then, I'm here for a reason. That's right, the Spirit Walk.
Yeah.
You kind of get caught up in that moment and stuff. Are we going to be, you touched on it a little bit, that we'll have some of that this year?
We'll have that hot apple cider that we produced at the Harvest Fair, and we made plenty of that, and it's defrosting the refrigerator right now. And we'll have that hot, and we'll have Tina there speaking about Point Boss and what we've done and what we'd like to accomplish in the future and some ideas and that sort of thing. And plus, it's just a camaraderie between even different persons and groups. A lot of times, you know, these people come there unbeknownst to somebody else they know comes, and all of a sudden they're, you know, visiting and everything else. So I think it's a lot of camaraderie between people.
Yeah. The event itself is fun. I hear people talk about it all year, especially right after the event. Hey, did you take it in this year? Did you do this year and stuff? But the other part of that like a lot of these events at the Historic Point Boss, is the community aspect of running into people that you don't always get to see, or just getting out and about and being able to do something this time of year when, as we get closer and closer to Old Man Winter, we don't get to be able to get out as much. These kind of events are really fun for us to be able to do that.
And it's one of those things that we've had requests, you know, why can't you do this more often? Why can't you do this? And it's just so many people pulled together. You know, Ryan comes, Houston comes from UW La Crosse. He's at school there, so he comes home on the weekend. And other people, they all have commitments. So if you can get a commitment of two Saturdays in a row, that's pretty hard to get.
Yeah,
and that's why one of ours is switching, because he just can't get them for two Saturdays. So to do a Saturday and a Sunday or something, I think it would just wear out the volunteers and everybody else that's there. It's a lot of fun, but it is work, too, at certain times.
Oh, yeah. What I really enjoy is some of the volunteers that we have are younger people. And let's face it, some of our group down there is getting elderly, like myself, and stuff. And it's wonderful seeing these young people come in and starting to participate. And this is an in for them. They enjoy it. And hopefully they'll continue on.
That's our future. And James and I have talked at the end of number shows about how you can volunteer at Point Boss. I mean, whether you're stuffing envelopes or making phone calls or working at the gate, and helping people, find where they want to go, or at one of the events where we have some food served, whether you can help in that regard. There's so many ways you can help. And, of course, as Larry mentioned, I mean, if we don't have this input of these young people in the future, I mean, there won't be any Point Boss. We have to have this continuity of people coming in all the time, because whether it's Knights of Columbus or the Elks or Eagles or anything like that, if you don't have young people in, it's going to die.
As lovers of history, we understand that it takes the young to keep history alive. And we have some great people, including both of you and so many other great people over there at the Historic Point Boss. But we also want to give you guys a hand. We want to help you keep this going. We need young people to be a part of this and to keep history alive over there. And volunteers are very welcome. Certainly that, or just along with volunteering, even taking in the events are really helpful. Ticket sales 100% goes right back into these events and helping keep history alive over there at Historic Point Boss.
Right, and we always charge what we think is a very reasonable fee. We haven't raised it in, 10 years or whatever. $5 for adults, $2 for students. Ones that aren't in school yet are free, and we encourage everybody to come out, whole families and that sort of thing. It's a family event. It's not scary, so it's a family event for everybody can get involved and come out in a fairly reasonable evening for everybody.
I dare people to find a family fun event like this that has all these things that we have been talking about this last half an hour for $5. Like, you can't. You cannot find anything like that. That is a not only a wonderful deal, but a wonderful way to put back into your community and to know that you are putting back into history and keeping things alive over there at the Historic Point Boss. This Spirit Walk is a fun one. Mike, as we are wrapping up, anything that we want to make sure to tell the audience about the event that we maybe haven't touched on?
Well, it's mostly outdoors, as we mentioned. There's three buildings you'll be in. So dress for the season, for the weather. If it looks like it's going to rain, you can wear an umbrella or a raincoat. You aren't going to get wet. Maybe some of the participants will get a little wet, but don't worry about that. So we go rain or shine, no matter what. And so far, the weather looks favorable for us.
I will recommend boots. I do think boots are a good idea. I think the first year I did this, I had on a pair of gym shoes or something. Better to have boots.
Well, it tends to, if the grass isn't wet from rain, it's wet from dew, and then you can pick up a lot of moisture.
Yeah, it's such a great event. It is a fun one, and there are so many aspects of it that I feel like we have covered today, but you got to experience it to know it. There's certain things in life that are just like that. We can tell you all day about how great it is, but you really got to experience this to know just how wonderful and how memorable this time is. This Spirit Walk with the Historic Point Boss coming up again Saturday, October 21st, then again Saturday, October 28th from 6 to 8 over at the beautiful Historic Point Boss. If people want to find out more about this or interested in future events with you guys, Mike, how can they do that?
Our best is go to the website.
HistoricPointBoss.com. Be sure to go there right now and bookmark that page, HistoricPointBoss.com. And as we mentioned before, volunteers, people wanting to get involved with things over at the Historic Point Boss, similar thing, Mike, send them to the website?
Yes, they go to the website or call me personally at 715-421-2061. And certainly we're interested in people of all ages and aspects of what they can or can't do. It doesn't matter. We've got some handicapped people that help us on a regular basis. They help at the gate because they maybe can't get around to do other things, but they can sit at a table and take tickets or, you know, make change and that sort of thing.
Really appreciate everything you guys do for our community and hanging out with me for a little while. You know how much I could talk to you for hours, Mike. I love doing this. Thank you so much for the time, guys.
Yeah, thank you, James and WFHR.
We will be sending people your way and talking more and more about this event on our shows. Again, the Spirit Walk coming up October 21st and 28th, 6 to 8 over at the Historic Point Boss. Find out more at historicpointboss.com. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. A 26-year-old man from Connecticut is charged with stealing money from elderly individuals in Wisconsin. Matthew Ramos Soto is behind bars in Michigan after he and his unknown co-conspirators stole around $200,000 from elderly Wisconsin residents demanding money over the phone. They were using what is known as the grandparent scam, telling the individuals that their relative was in jail and needed money for bail. Ramos Soto then traveled throughout Wisconsin to pick up the cash in person. If convicted, he faces a maximum penalty of 20 years in federal prison. Tomorrow is the final day to sign up to hunt deer in the town of Rome. Multi-Metro Deer Management is holding a training and archery test for interested hunters on the 17th. Residents who are interested in receiving a harvested deer, contact Melissa Rhodes at 715-325-8022. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Overcast skies this afternoon with a high of 53. Northeasterly winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, lows dip down to about 40. High of 54, tomorrow cloudy skies. Mid-50s Monday, turning warmer on Tuesday with highs in the upper 50s. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 51.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine for this October 13th, 2023. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here. In with us today, our friend Nathan Plim, Marketing Sales Manager with Visit Wisconsin Rapids. We're here to talk about the Rapids Area Sports Commission, MVP nominations, the award celebrations. Nathan, good to see you. How you been?
I've been good. How about you?
Doing good, doing good. Thanks for being here. We appreciate the time. I thought before we dive into nominees and the awards celebrations, let's tell people what this is all about.
Sure. So the Sports Commission is a public forum for leaders in sports organizations in Southwood County area, as well as the Wisconsin Rapids area. We work to promote sports tourism and develop sports tourism in the Wisconsin Rapids area by connecting people to provide opportunities to overcome, you know, shared obstacles that sports teams might be facing. And, you know, we're really focusing on growing those sports and the awareness of all the opportunities that we have in our area, both at the city and the county level. So we're really excited to see some more growth there and some more attendance at our meetings. It's been a really good year for the Sports Commission.
It's one of those things, too, where we're able to bring so much attention to such a fun thing that we have going on, too, in our area. And not only being able to bring up locals and nominate them and give them a bit in the spotlight and a bit of the tip of the hat, but to the sports themselves and to the complex itself, which is still relatively new and a new thing for not only our area but for our state.
Right. Yeah, it's the Rapids Area Sports Complex is an amazing asset for our area. We're really excited to see what you know, the past tournaments that have been held there and how much growth those specific sports have had. And we're really excited to see what it can become and how we can attract more and more tournaments to the area. Yeah.
How do you get the people for the? How do you come up with nominees for something like this?
Sure. So the Sports Commission, the Wisconsin Rapids Area Sports Commission, is hosting the 2023 MVP Awards, and what that award is it acknowledges an individual that demonstrates commitment, creativity, and dynamic energy toward the growth of sports and sports tourism in our community. And the award presentation is to bring awareness to all of the growth and the work that these individuals have been doing in the sports community. And so in order for people to be nominated, anyone is eligible to be nominated mm-hmm. that has participated in a Wisconsin Rapids area sports organization or a partner organization of that like. So yeah, people can nominate individuals in the community for this award by visiting our website, the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau website, and that link is visitwisrapids.com/sportscommission. Again, visitwisrapids.com/sportscommission. And on that page, we have a fillable criteria and nomination form. So the first page of that will have all the different things that we need in a complete nomination. And that includes a write-up of why the person nominating thinks that the nominee should be the MVP. Those would be ways that they demonstrate growth towards the sports tourism. How do they impact the community and individuals involved in those sports organizations? And if there's any evidence of financial benefit or economic impact and things like that, that's all included in the nomination. And of course, contact information. We like to see some photos of the individual as well. The Convention and Visitors Bureau works to really put those nominees out there because that's what this event is all about. Yeah. It's really about the nomination. At this time, the event only has the one MVP award, so there's one winner. However, the honor we see is in being recognized, especially by someone in the community.
Yeah. It really is one of those scenarios where it is an honor just to be nominated, just to be mm-hmm. In the same breath of these other people. And, mm-hmm. and it's such a good way to give an opportunity to these people to feel that spotlight for a moment. More times than not, we're talking about individuals that are giving of their time and that's the last thing they're looking for. So it's on us as a community to let them know how special they are, how much we appreciate them doing these things.
Exactly.
Those of us that are just nerds about sports and love sports, eat it up. I don't care if it's football or tiddlywinks. It doesn't matter. We just love sports. I think one of the things that we understand, those of lovers of sports, that it's more times than not about the final score, not about who wins or loses, especially at the levels we're talking about when we're talking about high school or we're talking about local athletics or those things. We'd love to see this kid, like another Vince Beagle or somebody like that, be able to go on and take his game to the next level and to the next level. It's really cool to see that. But I think most of us understand as well as sports fans, the percentages of that are very small. What we can guarantee is that these kids take these lessons that they learn from sports to whatever field they do with the rest of their life, sportsmanship, how to treat somebody, how to take a loss, how to take a win. Mm-hmm. All of mm-hmm. these things come from sports. You really can learn so much of what it is to be a good human being, a good adult, from playing sports.
Absolutely. And that's what is so inspiring about this community is the wide variety of sports opportunities that we provide at all age levels, right? And the beauty in the Sports Commission is that what you just mentioned, you know, that sense of community and learning and growth and focus on not necessarily winning, but how do we help each other through whatever obstacles we're facing? How do we develop players and athletes? All of those things are what the Sports Commission aims to do. And it's really cool to see, you know, hockey teams, football, soccer, basketball, figure skating, all the different kinds of sports working together in order to help each other solve those problems. And like I said, develop players and develop especially the youth sports we have in our area. It's really cool not being from this area, but to be able to see how much the Wisconsin Rapids community has in terms of youth sports. I wish I did grow up here.
I hear you. I'm same boat, man. Same boat. I grew up in a real heavy sports family. My dad was a minor league hockey player. Did minor league middleweight boxing. And growing up, seeing that, I don't know many people more competitive than my father. But I would see a match at games for him, and these, you know, they'd be going at each other like crazy. At the end of the game, they're shaking hands.
Right.
And this guy that he was just, he got a 2-minute penalty for getting into a fight with, they're shaking hands and laughing and talking about the game and stuff. Like, I grew up seeing those things. And as an adult, that's what I appreciate about sports. Not just about sports, I should say, but about human beings. When we can show show our humanity to each other. We can be vulnerable like that. Sports, it's funny because sports gets, I think, from a lot of people, from their perspective, they look at it, it's this machismo thing. It's this or it's that. Sports is about being vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Sports is about being human. And,
right.
And I think that's one of the most beautiful parts of it, whether it's a professional game or high school level. There's another angle of sports, too, that is so key to our conversation to this state. And we've talked about this with representatives, with other people, too, about how important commerce and visitors to this state are. And, you know, bringing attention to different events is in the state. We understand that. And you guys at the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, that's your game. That's your wheelhouse.
Absolutely. Yep.
Sports is a great way of showing people, you know, what's this Wisconsin Rapids area? What's this Central Wisconsin? I haven't checked that out much or anything. Mm-hmm. Well, they got this beautiful sports complex. That brings them in. And then all of a sudden they're here and they're like, whoa, what's this Cranberry Blossom Fest? What's this? What's that? And soon enough, you got a person who may even think about moving here, but are at the very least is going to come to these events. They and bring it, people in.
And it all started at, say, a basketball game that they were here for.
Right.
Or they were here for a baseball tournament over the summer one time, and they decided to come visit 2 years later because of how great of a time they had. That's what it's really all about. Sports tourism fits within our mission very much at the Convention and Visitors Bureau. While sports are a great part of our area, we're fortunate enough to have such a diverse and involved community where we have lots to offer. Sports are great, and I definitely want to talk about sports, but you know, we have a lot to offer as well, and that's what I think inspires people.
And before we wrap up today, I do want to talk about some of the upcoming events in this area.
Sure.
Make sure that we touch on those. When we're talking about commerce and economy, it's such a vital part of this conversation with what you guys do and tourism and bringing people in. We mentioned sports is one of the easier ways and one of the quicker ways to bring people in, but it is oftentimes a springboard to other events.
Mm-hmm.
When we're talking about this beautiful complex over there, how involved are you guys with the complex, with finding out about things going on over there? And are you able to, you know, give ideas or suggestions, that kind of thing? I'm always curious about the behind the scenes of these stories.
Sure. So on behalf of like the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, absolutely. We work with the folks over at the Rapids Area Sports Complex often. What we can do is we can provide hospitality items. We can help with proposals to bring in those tournaments. We can help to promote events and fundraisers and what's happening at the complex. That's what we do with the Convention and Visitors Bureau. And we're more than willing to help as much as we can. You know, we work with the Red Hawks, American Legion Baseball, and all kinds of different sports organizations. Those two specifically, just we did over the past summer.
Yeah.
We're doing some work right now with like the Rafters and the River Kings. Mm-hmm. Rafters as they finish up their season, River Kings as they're starting theirs. And we're really excited to be able to work with so many different organizations. If anyone is looking for help with tournaments, getting proposals sent out, you know, to whatever organization you might be looking to attract, or just general hospitality items. Like, say you already have the tournament set and you want to greet those incoming players, fans, and athletes in a special way, feel free to reach out to the Convention and Visitors Bureau. That's why we're here. Hospitality is our game. So if you have any questions, you can figure out more about us at visitwisrapids.com. That's V-I-S-I-T-W-I-S. RAPIDS.com, and or you can reach out to us, send us an email, cvbstaff@visitwisrapids.com, or give us a phone call, 715-422-4650.
We'll get that information to you as before we wrap up again, too, everybody. I'm glad you brought up the Red Hawks, because I think it's one of the better examples of what we're talking about here. We had them in a little while ago, thanks to you guys, giving the half an hour to them and got to really talk. And I think for our audience, we haven't had a chance to really talk to them and get to know the history of the team and how that it came to be even and everything. And they'll be some of the first people to tell you. We're not sure how this happens without the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, without the Bureau here being able to kind of add their assets to this story and this conversation. It's very cool not only to have them, the Red Hawks, and we say a good afternoon to all of our friends out there, but that you guys could be a part of that story. And that's a key part of this, I think, too, to other organizations, to other people out there. Whether you have an idea that you want to get off the ground, or if you are a business or anything going on, an event that you have going on, we could be bigger. We could be doing more. How could we do that? Reach out to our friends at the Bureau. They are going to be able to help you.
Absolutely. And one of the best things about our organization is our services are free. We don't charge to market and promote organizations, businesses, events, fundraisers, things like that. And so with the Red Hawks especially, you know, this was their second season, I believe, and they had a successful second year. And you know, I worked with John Krominacher. He's one of the head honchos over with the Red Hawks. We've worked with him at least once a week, like for 2 months before their last tournament in the awesome. Summer. So very, very much acquainted with them. And you're right. Great, great team to have and an asset to our area. But yeah, the biggest thing is that we just need to find the information, or we just need the information. And that's how we do what we do. We're looking for more people to start reaching out when they have events coming up and just sending us the information. We can put it on our website calendar, our social media pages. We can send it out to other interested parties. There's a lot that we're able to do once we have the information. So if people are looking to promote more, get bigger, like you said, we're the place to start.
As far as nominees for the MVP awards, 2023 MVP awards, can people still submit names? Are they able to still do that?
Absolutely. So the nomination process, or I should start with first the date. MVP award celebration is going to be on Thursday, November 16th at 2023, and that's going to be held at Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa. Final details about the event itself are still being worked on between the CVB and Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, but in the meantime, nominations are still open for the MVP award. Those will be due Friday, October 20th, and like I said earlier, people can find that nomination criteria and the form on our website, visitwisrapids.com/sportscommission.
Not a huge requirement list. Part is, I think, keeps it open for a lot of people. And there's so many people out there that I know that you're thinking it, like our listeners are listening right now, and there are names popping off in their head. And like, I wonder if anybody recommended or nominated so-and-so.
Exactly.
And get the name in there, you know?
Right. And one of the cool things about this award is that even if people were nominated in the past but didn't receive the award, right, because there's only one person chosen every year, if they haven't received the award, they're still eligible for nomination again. So we're encouraging folks that might have, you know, nominated their friend or their colleague in the past, but were kind of disappointed that they might not have gotten the award. We're fortunate enough to be able to offer that. So feel free to send the information in. I do want to make a note that the Sports Commission does not hold nomination information year over year. So if you got any updates for us, we're happy to hear about those. Like I said, though, the deadline to nominate is Friday, October 20th. So 1 week from today.
and everybody, Maloff is spelled M-A-L-O-U. No, I'm joking.
Right.
I bring that up because I wanted to mention, give a shout out to all the past recipients. You sent out a great news release recently, and I thank you for that. One, for the information, and also sending it to us, Pam and I, and everything.
Sure.
Thank you for that. It's great to have that information, not only for this interview, but for other conversations. But it's also really cool to just look at these names. I've talked with most of these people on this list, and every single one of them have, there's a theme I see in all of them. Now, for great at what they do, and really impactful in what they do, and very intelligent in what they have. I look at like a guy like Marty Quarters from the River Kings, who used to be with us. I still talk to Marty. He's enjoying life right now. But what he did for the River Kings in our community, now Coach Peckham is doing an amazing job right now. We love talking with him and having him on. We can't get to Coach Peckham without Coach Quarters. He really got this going. You know, and he belongs on this list. I think of somebody like that. And I think of somebody who, when I was talking to him, X's and O's, I mean, we love talking hockey, but his first thing out of his mouth every time is, man, this area is great. I love the people of this area.
Right.
And that's off air. It's not even on air. It's not even where the microphones are tuned on or anything. It's just a guy who loved this area. I look at all these other names, and every one of them are the same way. People that believe in this area, love the people, and want to put back into it.
Exactly. These are the movers and shakers, if you will, of our community. These are the ones who see a need in our sports communities, and they took action. They did it, if you will. For example, I had the honor of meeting Dan Guck and Lee Graff last year at the 2022 MVP Awards, and they're the folks that really helped get the ball rolling with the Rapids Area Sports Complex. There were several people and organizations involved, but you know, we were fortunate enough to honor them at last year's MVP Awards. So hopefully we can get some of those folks back, you know. An interesting part about this award as well is that it's not chosen by the Convention and Visitors Bureau or, you know, public vote. It's actually the award winner is chosen by previous MVP award winners.
That's so cool.
So the group, that list that you're talking about, I'm working to get those folks together soon as we prepare once the nominations are
I in. Love that process. I love the way you do that. I also think it's really smart because I would never be able to decide. If I was in your guys'
right?
shoes, I'd never be able to decide. Like, let them make it.
Exactly.
They got experience. They can decide.
Right.
I wouldn't be able to pick. There's so many great people around here.
Right. But again, that's the point of the event mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. it's while it's great to win and be recognized as quote unquote the 2023 MVP, the honor really is in the nomination. We yeah. want to host this event so people can share with the public about what they've been doing, because as we know, the behind the scenes stuff doesn't really get that light and that coverage. So yeah. and we think that's really important, especially as a lot of these people are volunteers. A lot of our sports leaders are doing this in addition to, you know, running their families, working at their 9-to-5 jobs all day. So that is really important to us, and we hope that we can show that with this award.
We're speaking with Nathan from the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau about the 2023 MVP Awards. Again, nominations are due by Friday, October 20th. You can get those nominations and see the criteria for it at visitwisrapids.com/sportscommission. visitwisrapids.com/sportscommission. The nomination, the awards itself will be Thursday, November 16th at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Coosa. We have other great events coming up as well, Nate. Wondering if you want to touch on some of those.
Yeah, absolutely. I will say right away that tomorrow is the last day for the outdoor Wisconsin Rapids Farmers Market downtown. So, you know, hopefully weather permitting. It's kind of rainy right now. But if you're looking to get one last stop into the Farmers mm-hmm. Market before they close for the season, tomorrow's the day to do it. But don't fear, because we do have the Wisconsin Rapids Indoor Winter Farmers Market starting. That's going to start on October 21st and run through December 16th at the Moravian Church. It'll be 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturdays, you know, holidays or mm-hmm. winter Wisconsin weather permitting.
But
that winter market, we're excited to see that back again. And more information about that event, and if you're looking to be a vendor for mm-hmm. that affair as well, you can find that out at the Moravian Church website or their Facebook. Yeah. And that's their website is wrmoravian.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first note I wanted to make.
And, you know, this is the definition of buying local, supporting local, these farmers markets.
Absolutely.
You are not only helping our vendors, you're helping our ag industry, our farmers. You're getting some of the best produce in the state. You're getting some of the best things in the state and mm-hmm. handmade gifts and all those kind of things. Mm-hmm. This time of year, all that stuff is very, very welcome. So be sure to take in this event and thank the vendors if you get a chance. Thank them for being able to spend the summer with us and being able to bring some of these great things to our community.
Absolutely. Some other events that we have coming up mm-hmm. in our area. We have Colorama happening at Tri-North Ski Club
this.
In Winter Park.
Yeah,
me too. This is the first year I'm actually able to go.
Cool,
so
cool.
I look forward to being out there tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, like I said, at Tri-North Ski Club, October 14th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And what that event is it's a chance for people to see fall color of surrounding four counties. People will have the opportunity to go up to the top of the 55-meter ski jump. They can get a lift up there on an UTV, or you can hike up. But there's also going to be some vendors, some chili. I heard that their chili out there is really good. And some music in the chalet. So it's going to be a great day. Again, hopefully the rain, it finishes up today, so we can see that fall color tomorrow at Colorama.
It's going to be a fun event, and I know a very popular event here in this area.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Some other fall events that we have coming up, getting more into the spooky side of things. Mm. We have the Spirit Walk happening at Historic Point Bass. That's going to be October 21st and the 28th. That's going to be a chance for people to meet former residents of Point Bass and citizens of the area, of the era.
Mm-hmm.
And so the site, the grounds will be open. The quote-unquote spirits will emerge from their surroundings, and people are going to get a chance to get that historical context.
One of our favorite events in the area, we were just talking with our friends over there about this, and mm-hmm. looking forward to this one again. We'll be telling people more and more about it coming up.
Absolutely. Some other events we have later in the month, we're going to have the WIAA State Cross Country Meet on Saturday, October 28th.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. I think 10,000 day visitor or
that's what I
people
heard.
Visiting the area for one day for one event.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely a huge economic impact there. We're very fortunate to have to be able to host WIAA both cross country in the fall and gymnastics in the spring. So we're thankful to those folks there. Let's see, what else do we got coming up? We have Halloween at the YMCA.
Yeah, yeah.
That's going to be a really fun event, especially for families. It's free to attend on Friday, October 27th, with a non-perishable food item. That's what they're asking for.
Yeah, you bring a can of soup or something like that, and you get to enjoy and have a free, fun time while also knowing that you're helping out a family out there that could use that can of soup or non-perishable food item. And I know for so many parents out there these days, too, knowing that you're taking your kid to a safe, fun event. That's the big thing. And not as so much as, when we were kids and it was just kind of like, let them run. Let them go out there.
Right.
It's a little more critiqued now and stuff. And that's a great event they do every year at the Y. They do a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm. And with that, we have another really cool event that's going to be donating to the Southwood County Emerging Pantry Shelf, or SWEPS, if you will. That's Trunk or Treat with the St. Luke's Lutheran Church. That'll be Saturday, October 29th from 1:30 to 3:30. And, you know, get your costume ready, and we're going to have some games and candy going on, some food snacks, photo booth, guess the pumpkin weight, you know, win a prize, and vote on your favorite trunk, if you will. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, Trunk or Treat is happening Saturday, October 29th, and the food items are being donated to Southwood County Emerging Pantry Shelf.
We just never have enough time to cover all of these events. You and I could keep talking for another an hour and still not cover everything. that speaks highly to what you guys are doing over there and what this community does day in and day out. We appreciate that, appreciate this community with these events. So much going on. We're very, very lucky to have that in this area. If people want to find out more, or I always like to mention this too, volunteers. We're always looking for volunteers with these events. There's very few events that we're good. We don't need anybody.
Right.
Most people could use an extra set of hands, and we always appreciate people being able to put back into the community by volunteering. If you want to do that, you want to find out more, where can they go, Nathan?
People can find out more about the things that we do by visiting our website, visit wisrapids.com. Again, visit wisrapids.com. Mm-hmm. We also serve as a connection point between the businesses and organizations in our area. So if organizations or groups are looking for volunteers, we're certainly happy to help make connections there. But yeah, feel free to give us a phone call if you're just wondering about the area, things going on, what we can do to help. 715-422-4650. Again, 715-422-4650 for the Convention and Visitors Bureau.
Always good talking with you, man. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you for having me.
Do us a favor, tell Meredith hi for us.
I will.
Please do.
Absolutely.
Thank you. We'll talk again real soon. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you real soon right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Locally grown, 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
What if your next breath is your last breath? Jesus said that no one is good except God alone. Paul wrote that no one is righteous, not even one. Isaiah says we all, like sheep, have gone astray. At First Baptist Church of Wisconsin Rapids, we believe there is hope of life after death in Christ alone. Historic faith, prayer, fellowship, virtue, the preaching of the word. Visit firstbaptistwr.com.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. The sound of a phone charging station in Gaza as hundreds of thousands of residents of the enclave flee from the north to the south. More on the mass movement from the BBC's Yolanda Nell.
On the two roads heading south in Gaza, witnesses describe Palestinians moving in vehicles piled high with their belongings or on foot carrying plastic bags and suitcases. Israel's military has reiterated that 1 million residents of northern Gaza, one of the most crowded places on earth, must leave their homes.
Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu met with Israeli infantrymen today. CBS's Imtiaz Tayeb says it appears Israel is preparing for a ground attack aimed at crushing Hamas.
While Israel hasn't confirmed if it will launch a ground invasion, it looks all but certain as the death toll in Gaza only rises. This morning, the Palestinian Ministry of Health has confirmed over 2,200 people have been killed, including more than 720 children, since Israel began retaliating against Hamas's horrific attack 1 week ago.
About 100 pro-Israel demonstrators gathered in front of Israel's defense ministry in Tel Aviv to demand the safe return of hostages held by Hamas, demonstrator Amit Shemtov.
I just want my brother back. There's nothing more I want. This whole thing is supposed to be for us to unite and get all the hostages back home safely, the least amount of casualties as possible.
Israel says Hamas is holding 120 people. The U.S. says at least 14 Americans are unaccounted for. Russia is calling for a ceasefire between Israel and Hamas. Former CBS News Moscow Bureau Chief Beth Noble says that's a head-scratcher.
It's a little hypocritical that Russia is trying to step into a peacemaker role in the Israel-Gaza conflict when it's waging its own brutal war in Ukraine, a war that's cost thousands of lives.
The judge in the federal election interference case involving Donald Trump is expected to make an important ruling soon.
Judge Tanya Chutkan will hear arguments Monday over whether to impose a gag order against Donald Trump following his inflammatory remarks against prosecutors and against her. Trump's attorneys say any effort to silence his speech smacks of censorship. Judge Chutkan must balance the need to protect the integrity of the legal proceedings against the First Amendment rights of the former president and current candidate for the Republican presidential nomination. Donald Trump has freely expressed his disdain in this case and in several other legal cases against him.